Good morning. Great to be here. Great to see everybody here. I was receiving a few text messages right at the beginning of our worship service. We need to be in prayer for Sister Joyce Galloway. This is Bubba's mom, it's Terry's aunt. She was showing some signs of a stroke. She seems to be talking okay right now, but they went over to Providence to get her checked out. So we're still waiting to hear back exactly what's going on there, but just be prayerful about that, please. I have a PowerPoint. There it is. Got it. Yeah. Thank you, Sergey. So who in here has ever lost something important? Yeah, I lose things all the time. Lose things all the time. You can ask Katie. She can tell you. I'm always looking for my phone, always looking for my keys, always looking for my wallet. Justin, how many times at Gulf Coast Bible Camp have you sent me a text saying, "Hey, buddy, I found your water bottle"? I'm always losing stuff. If you've been to our house, you also know our couch tends to eat things. So, like, our remote, we can never find it. We had a lot of people at the house yesterday, and I think we had, like, 8 lost phones that found their way into the couch. And so it happens all the time. I'm always losing stuff. But now let's raise our hands. Let's not leave me hanging here. If you have ever lost your kids or your kid, have you ever lost your kid? When I say lost, I don't mean like picture on the milk carton kind of lost. I mean like I don't know where they are for a little bit lost. And what I'm talking about is you've probably been there before. I'm there at the grocery store. I've got the boys with me, and I reach to go grab something off the shelf. And when I go to reach, my kid's right here by the buggy, and I get the thing off the shelf, and I put the thing in the buggy. My kid was there. Now he's gone. Don't know where they are. And what it takes about 3 seconds for panic to set in. You look around. They're not there. And so now you're worried. And, you know, when the boys were younger, when they were 2 years old or 3 years old, they were really into hide and seek. And so if we were at home, they were always wanting to go and hide. And they wanted me and Katie to look for them. But at home, it's a little different because they would hide. And if we didn't find them in about 8 seconds, we would just hear a little voice, you know, "I'm in the bathroom, I'm under the bed," right? It didn't take any time. They wanted to be found immediately. Same age. It could have been the same day that they, "Hey, I'm hiding under the bed." Can't find them in the grocery store. No hints, no clues. No, you know, "I'm on the next aisle. I made a fort on the bottom shelf with the paper towels, and I'm hiding behind it." Like, none of that. But can you imagine that moment where, you know, you temporarily couldn't find your children, weren't exactly sure where they were? Could you imagine if that moment was recorded in the most popular book ever written for everybody of all of history to read? Because that's exactly what happened to Mary and Joseph, right? We know the birth of Jesus, and we have that, but then we really only have this one instance recorded of Jesus when he was a child. So we read about this in Luke chapter 2. And in Luke chapter 2, we know it's the birth of Jesus, and we fast forward. Now suddenly he's 12 years old. They go to Jerusalem for Passover like they always did as a family. And as they leave, they just assume that Jesus is with the group of people that they traveled with. I mean, it kind of sounds like to me Jesus was raised a little bit like a preacher's kid or a minister's kid, because here at church, people are always asking me, like, "Hey, where's Gabe? Where's Elijah?" And my answer is usually, "He's somewhere around here with somebody, hopefully." That's kind of what Joseph and Mary did. They were like, "Well, Jesus is with some other family that we travel with somewhere." And of course, most of us are familiar with this story, and they go back to the city, and they're searching all over, and they end up finding him in the temple, and he's teaching people, and they're just in awe. They can't believe of this knowledge and this wisdom from this kid. And I can imagine Mary, like the first time she reads this in Luke's gospel account, her rushing over to Luke's house, knocking on the door and be like, "Really?" Like, all of these incredible moments and all of these incredible memories that we have of Jesus when he was a child, and this is the one thing that you pick to highlight? Like, really? Like, parents of the year over here. And so, you know, losing your kids is bad, but if you ever feel bad about not knowing where your children are, Mary and Joseph, they lost God's kids. They lost Jesus. So maybe that makes you feel a little better if that ever happens to you. But really, the reason why I bring all of that up is, again, we have Jesus, and he's a baby. We fast forward, he's 12, and then we fast forward all the way to his adulthood. But there's this one transition verse that that we read, that we get, that kind of gets us from Jesus being 12 to Jesus being an adult. And it's this. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says that Jesus grew, or Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and man. And isn't that what we all want for our own children? Is we want them to grow in this same way. When there's a kid or a teenager or anybody, you haven't seen them for a while, what's the first thing that you point out? What's the first thing you say? You say, man, you've gotten tall. Wow, you are growing so much. If you're like me and just can't help but be sarcastic, you're like, man, you're getting shorter and shorter every day. And so, but that's the first thing we notice is how they're growing in stature. And of course, we want our kids to grow in knowledge and in wisdom. We want them to grow in favor with man, right? We want them to, for other people to like our kids. We want them to mind their manners and to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and thank you. And most of all, we want them to grow in favor of God. And we don't only want that for our own children, but hopefully we want that for all of our kids here at Azalea City. Man, we look around. We just saw them a moment ago. Y'all, we have been just incredibly blessed with some precious kids. We have been so blessed with some incredible teenagers. And in saying that, we've also been blessed with some incredible families. We have incredible parents here, and you're raising your kids in the Lord. You're raising them up to be a part of the church, and it's such a beautiful thing to be a part of. It's a beautiful thing to witness. And what's really cool is that we have a great eldership here at Azalea City. And we've had great elderships in the past, and what our elderships have done, current and in the past, they have seen the importance of children in church. And so what they've done is they've given us ministries that are set up so that we can invest in our children's spiritual growth. We can invest in our children's spiritual lives so that they can grow just like Jesus grew here. We want that for our children. So my question to us this morning is, are we investing in our children's spiritual lives? Are you, as an individual, are you investing in our children's spiritual lives? We can learn the lesson in Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16. Mark 10, 13 through 16. Here what we have is, we have this scene where Jesus is teaching his disciples. And of course, like usual, Jesus' teaching leads to his disciples having all of these questions. And so his disciples start asking questions, and Jesus is giving them answers, and most of Jesus' answers require more questioning. They're wanting to learn more, and they're really into it. And again, they're sitting at the feet of Jesus, and they're eating it up. They're loving what they're hearing. And then what happens right in the middle of this, these parents just kind of barge in. They come in and start bringing their kids to Jesus. And we've probably been there before, right? You're talking to your friend, you're talking to somebody else, and you start feeling that tug on your pants leg, or you start hearing, dad, 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 mom, 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 mom. And you're like, hey, the adults are talking right now. You go and play with your friends, right? Hey, stop interrupting. Let us finish our conversation. And that's kind of what the disciples are doing here, is they're having this conversation with Jesus. They're asking him questions. They're receiving the answers. And then these kids come in, and it says that the disciples, they got mad. They rebuked the children and the parents, but this kind of irritates Jesus. And Jesus stops his disciples and he tells them not to do that. In Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying hands on them. Jesus said, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Do not stop them from coming to me. Jesus taught the importance of children being a part of the church. So much so that he said that if we don't have faith like a child, that we could even be a part of the kingdom of God. We have to have that childlike faith. Do we have that childlike faith this morning? One of the greatest ways that we can have a childlike faith. And when I say childlike faith, I don't Notice I didn't say childish faith. This isn't a faith that says, hey, it's all about me and I'm only concerned with my wants and my needs, and if things don't go my way, I'm going to pout or whine about it. It's not childish faith. This is childlike faith. This is this childlike excitement to get to be here this morning and to worship God. It's a childlike trust in our Heavenly Father. That's what I mean. That's what Jesus means by childlike faith. And what better way to have childlike faith than to spend time with children, to see how they act, to see how they view the world. And to me, one of the best ways to do that here at Azalea City is during our children's contribution. During our children's contribution, we really have, or we're able to see, I think I pressed the wrong button, I don't know. But we're really able to see, oh, they have money now. But we're able to see this childlike faith. Because what we see during children's contribution, again, it reminds me a lot of these people, these parents bringing their kids to Jesus while he's in the middle of a conversation with his disciples. Right? On Sunday mornings we're here and we're worshiping God, we're praising him, and we're praying, and we're about to take the Lord's Supper, the most important thing that we're going to do today. But right before that, we hit pause and we put the bowl here, and we see all of these children run up here and put that money in the bowl. And what's so cool about that is that we can see this childlike faith. Because we see this excitement. These kids are eager. They're excited that they get to have a part in our worship service this morning. These kids, they're eager to put that money in the bowl to give. And I get, look, it's not their money, you know, it's their parents' money. But, I mean, my kids, they know what that money goes towards. My kids know that dollar I gave them this morning, if they go to a cashier and give it to them, that they'll get some quarters back and they can buy a gumball with it. It's probably about all you can buy with a dollar these days. But they can get a gumball with that. And so they're aware, but instead of holding on to it and saying, well, can I keep it? I want a gumball later. They're so excited to give it and put it in that bowl. They're excited to play a part in worship. And so we get to witness this childlike faith during children's contribution. But the coolest thing about children's contribution is that it's a 100% child-focused ministry. Because it's our children who are putting the money in the bowl, and then 100% of that money goes towards buying food, and that food is then on Wednesday nights while we're in the fellowship hall and we're having our devotional time, our children are upstairs and they're putting that food, bought with the money that they gave, they're putting that food in a bag. And they're loading up these bags and filling it with these snacks and this food, and then from there, those bags of food, they go to J.E. Turner Elementary. They go to Sims Elementary to help feed children over the weekends who maybe are less fortunate, and it's one less thing that they have to worry about. It's one less thing that their parents have to worry about, or their parents have to spend money on. And so it not only teaches our children to give and to have a kind heart, but it also teaches them to serve as they are putting that food in the bags. And then it's the kids in our community who are benefiting from this ministry. And so this children's contribution is so cool, because in so many different ways, our children are part of it. Our children are working. Our children are learning and all that. And it's the children in our community who are being benefited from it. But like I said, it's our kids during outdoor Bible on Wednesday nights. That's how they start their class every Wednesday night during the school year, is by this act of service. And, you know, not to say too much, but we're in the middle of some restructuring with some of that. And so you're probably going to have an opportunity pretty soon to have a chance to be a part of that and to help kids put the food in the bags on Wednesday nights. Because, look, we started off with how many bags at the beginning? We started off with 22. Last year we were just shy of 100. That's a lot of things, a long attention span for our kids to keep up with. And so we'll probably be asking for some help with that soon. So there's a way that you can get involved with that ministry. But our outdoor Bible kids, they start their Wednesday night class with that. And so that's really, again, they started off with the act of service. But that's just a drop in the bucket when it comes to things that our kids do or what outdoor Bible is involved with. It barely scrapes the surface with the good that comes from our outdoor Bible class. And for those who don't know, our outdoor Bible, it's basically Sunday morning and Wednesday night Bible class for our kids. But it's so much more than just your typical Bible class. You see, today we are we're so blessed and to have so much research, so much knowledge about how kids learn. What's the best ways to educate kids? And we've learned it's not just for kids, it's for us too. That just us as people, we learn better when our teaching methods are diversified. Whenever we teach in a multitude of ways. And so, you know, some people and some kids, they're auditory learners, where, you know, everything that I'm saying right now, you're hearing it, you're understanding it, and because you've heard it, you're going to remember it and you've got it, you've learned it. But then for other people, for other kids, it goes in one ear and out the other, right? And so they might be visual learners. That's why we do things like PowerPoint, because we have a lot of visual learners, and so they need something that they can see to help them learn it, to help them remember it and learn it. And then you have kinesthetic. Did I say that right? Kinesthetic, Katie? She corrected me. I was calling it tactile, and she was like, that's wrong. But teachers, am I right? But they learn by having hands-on experience with things. And they need to be able to touch it or feel it or to experience it, to remember it. And so what Outdoor Bible is doing, it's taking that knowledge that we know on how kids learn best, and it's applying it to teaching our kids the Bible. And it's so cool. They go up there and they have a class, a lesson, and they'll learn that same lesson in three different ways, because they'll learn it in Craft Hut. And they're doing this craft, and again, it's visual, it's hand-on, and they're hearing the lesson, so they're learning this lesson in all those different ways. And then they can go to Front Porch, and they can maybe take part in acting some things out, or there's some props. So if it's talking about silver coins or a shekel, you know, we don't have the actual thing, but we'll have, like, prop coins for them to see and for them to touch to help them remember what this lesson is. I remember I was helping Miss Samantha up there one time, and it was the perfect time to help with the Front Porch class, because it was Jesus cleansing the temple. And so you know what the kids got to do? They got to cleanse the temple. They got to tip over the table of the money changers and experience that. Hey, and I remember doing it. And so I'm sure these kids, they remember doing it. It just helps them remember that. And then you have Country Kitchen, and it's all the great smells, all the great tastes. And again, it's hands-on and it's visual, and they're learning it in all these different ways. And that's what Outdoor Bible does, is it takes, okay, how can we best educate and teach our kids? Okay, well, let's use that and teach our kids the Bible in that same way. You know, it's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot of kids up there. We're always in need of an extra set of hands up there. I think Katie, for the first time this morning, went up there and helped, and she was like, hey, I loved it. That was so much fun getting to go up there and work with the kids, and she really enjoyed it. And so we're always in need of some extra set of hands just to wrangle the kids, or, you know, maybe the teacher needs a supply from the resource room, and so you can run and grab it. Like, there are so many ways to get involved with that ministry. But when these kids that go through Outdoor Bible and throughout their time there, they're hearing the span of the Bible, they're going through it multiple times throughout their years from kindergarten all the way up through fifth grade. So whenever they come to the teen class, their knowledge just, it blows me away. It's incredible what they've absorbed in Outdoor Bible. And usually I can, not always, but sometimes I can tell the difference of my Outdoor Bible alum versus those who didn't go through it. Because I can say, hey, you know, turn to the book of Habakkuk. Well, it's kind of an obscure minor prophet. We don't always read from it or teach from it. And so some of the teens might struggle finding it, but if you've gone through Outdoor Bible, every single Sunday morning, you start your class with singing the books of the Bible. And so you've got it. You know exactly where to turn. You know where that is. You know what book comes before. You know what book comes after, and you can find it. Right? I can just mention King Saul, and they can just not only just throw out random facts to me about this person in the Bible, but they can tell me these stories about them. They can tell me kind of what it means for the grand scheme of the Bible, and they can connect it to David, and they have all of this information that they've learned through Outdoor Bible. And so our Outdoor Bible, our kids classes that we have here, is such an incredible ministry for our kids. You know, I picked on my teens a second ago when I said, you know, some of them can't find the book of Habakkuk, right, Logan? Just called them out for no reason because I'm a punk. But we have some incredible teens. Again, we look around and we see all of our kids here. We look around, we see all of these teenagers, and they're a part of our youth ministry here. And I always try to, and parents, you'll hear more of this at our meeting today, but I always really be intentional. I try to be intentional to call it a ministry and not just a youth group. Now, nothing's wrong with calling it a youth group, and I still will call it a youth group from time to time, and it's fine. But the reason why we talked about it this morning in our teen class is I want to really stress and focus on that this is for the teens and their needs. It's not this separate little group that does their own thing, and it's kind of a part of church, but not really. I want it to be seen as fully a part of Azalea City Church of Christ. And it is a ministry of our church. And it's not only here for the teens, but if we want to get technical, it's our youth and family ministry. And so this ministry exists to be here for the teens, to help them, but it's also here to help the parents. You know, maybe give the parents kind of a peace of mind on where their kids are. Hopefully they can see it as a safe space that their kids can come and hang out. It's a place where what they're learning at home about Jesus, about God, can be supplemented in Bible classes and conversations. And so I hope it's a place for our families to get plugged into. It's a place for our teenagers to get plugged into. But adults, you remember what it was like to be a teen, right? It can be kind of hard. It can be very difficult. There's so many changes that are happening to you in your life. There are so many different things that your mind's focused on. You're trying to figure out who you are right now, your current identity. You're trying to figure out who you're going to be when you're an adult. You're trying to figure out what you're going to do when you grow up and what your job's going to be, what kind of career you're going to get into. And it can be very hard to find your way and to navigate your way through that. And so what we need for these teens, we need mentors. We need people to help guide them through all of that. And yes, they have their parents. And again, we have incredible parents here. Yes, they have me, and y'all have an okay enough youth minister. A little bit of a downgrade, right, Justin? But they need mentors. Because there's some things, if I'm being honest as a youth minister, if we're being honest as parents, there might be some things that we just might not be fully equipped with to help our teens through certain situations. I think about things like our juniors and our seniors or even our recent graduates. And they're deciding what they're going to do for their job and for their career. And hey, someone might decide that they're going to go into the medical field. I don't really know much about the medical field. Their parents might not know a whole lot about the medical field. But I look around here and I see a lot of people who are a part of the medical field, who have a healthcare profession. And so that's where you can step in and you can say, hey, here's the kind of degree you need to go to. Here's a good school. Here's some good schools that you need to look into. Here's how internships work and all these different things, all these things that I don't really know about, their parents might not, but even more beyond that, you have the spiritual side of that. Because again, the medical field, it takes up a lot of your time, right? It's a lot of dedication. So they might have questions they need answers, like how do you balance your spiritual life and your career? How do I prioritize being a Christian whenever my job takes up this much time for me? What are some good practices that I can do? And that's where you can come in and help them with that. You know, not to, when you start calling names, you end up leaving people out, but I think of people like Cody Poe and David Kirby, and there's several of you that in your profession, you've really learned to take what you do for work and turn it into a ministry. Turn it into something going, okay, how can I use this thing that I do to provide for my family? How can I use it to help other people? That's where y'all can step in and be mentors to our teens, especially those maybe who are some of our older teens. In John chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Again, I've asked y'all to look around several times. Look at all of these kids. Look at all of these scenes. It is so clear. The fields are white and they are ready for harvest. It's time to get to work. But this is when the excuses come in, right? Well, yeah, Taylor, I get what you're saying. And you're right. The fields are white. There's plenty of opportunity. I see all of these teens, all of these kids. But you know, I don't really know how to talk to them on their level. I feel kind of awkward doing that. It might make them feel awkward. I don't want them to think that I'm an old fart or anything like that. And so we start coming up with all these excuses. And, hey, here's why I shouldn't be involved with any of this.
don't bury that talent. Like Cody read for us, the parable of the master and his workers. And so to modernize that a little bit, I'll use my own words, but you have this boss and he's going out of town, and so he gives his workers, he gives one of them $3, another one $2, another one $1. And so when that boss returns, the man that he gave $3, he's like, hey, I turned the $3 and I turned it into $50. The man that he gave $2, hey, I turned my $2 and I turned it into $20. And then he goes to the worker that he gave $1 to, and that worker just says, here's your dollar back. And so the boss is like, well, why didn't you create more with it? Why didn't you create opportunity with it? Why didn't you at least invest it in something so it could have grown into more than just a dollar? And that worker said, well, I was afraid. I was afraid of what might happen. And so I buried it. I hid it. Here, you can have what's yours back. Again, it's money we're talking about here in the parable, but it's kind of a neat thing that our language has today of, it's called a talent. But of course today we have our talents, the things that we can do, the things that we're good at, our abilities. Don't bury that talent. The fields are white, it's ready for harvest. Don't bury the talent. You have this incredible gift. You have this knowledge. You have this wisdom. Don't bury it. Don't just keep it for yourself, but help these kids, help these teens, be there for them. You know, I look at these teens here, and really with any kind of evangelism, it starts with a conversation, and then from that conversation, you hope that it turns into a Bible study, and then from that Bible study, we're ultimately probably hoping that we can get them in here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night, right? We want to get them here, we want to get them in the building, and a lot of times it seems like just getting them here is the hard part. Again, we look at the teens and kids, hey, they're already here. There's always more growth that can happen, sure. But the hard part's done for these kids and teens, that they're here. We have this opportunity, but no other ministry here at Azalea City does a better job of getting people here in this building than the Azalea City Christian School. Me and Miss Tina, when I say me and Miss Tina, I mean mostly just Miss Tina. She ran some numbers from last year. We had roughly 150 people that were directly impacted by the school here. We had 150 people that walked through those doors, that walked our hallways, that ate a meal in our fellowship hall and sat in this very room. Now, it wasn't on Sunday morning most of the time, but we got them here. They were here in the building. 150 people were directly impacted by our school here. And if they're being impacted by our school here, well, they know they're where they see it when they pull in. They see the steeple. This is a Christian school. This is a school that's a part of this church. It's within the church building. And so if they're being impacted by the school, then they're being impacted by the church. And so we had 150 people that were impacted by the church. How many of those 150 people did we talk to? How many of those 150 people did we get to know? Did we meet? Did we get to know their kids? Because 150, it includes the teachers. It includes all of the staff. It includes the students. It includes the parents and the grandparents. Are we getting to know them? Hey, I'll give a big shout out to our ladies class that comes and meets every Tuesday. It was K-4 graduation and we needed some help, and so Miss Tina reached out to them, and so a lot of you were here and y'all helped cook and y'all served food, and it was such an encouraging and exciting thing to see because y'all were sitting there with the families and y'all were meeting them and getting to know them, and it was such a special thing to see y'all reach out and meet these people, to evangelize to them. There's a lot of great things that go on with this school, and what's so cool about the ministry of the school here is that it actually opens the door to so many other ministry opportunities. We might have a family who's fallen on hard times, and maybe someone got let go of their job or whatever it might be, and they don't know how they're going to pay for childcare. And Miss Tina and Miss Shelley, they do an incredible job about this. They can come along and say, hey, don't worry about that. Azalea City's got you. We might have a teacher whose car breaks down. And listen, if you know anything about really teachers in general, but if you know anything about our teachers here, they are passionate about these kids. They are passionate about teaching these children. They're definitely not in it for the money. And so when their car breaks down, they might not have what they need to get it fixed. And so, again, Azalea City can come along and say, hey, it's okay. We've got your back. Don't worry about it. And again, with the school being a ministry of this church, when the school's doing it, it's ultimately the church and it's Jesus who is impacting them in that moment when we're coming in and helping meet their needs. The school opens the door to so many opportunities, and it's again, so many people from our community. The hard part's being done. We're getting them here in the building. I know Michelle Giroux and Jeff May, they were able to come this past Friday morning. We do breakfast for our parents every Friday, mostly every Friday. And they were able to come for the first time and meet some of these parents. And again, start evangelizing, start reaching out to these families. But you know, after all this, you might be thinking, well, you know, this really isn't for me. I get it, Taylor. I see the fields are wide. I see the opportunity, but ultimately, not trying to come up with excuses, but I just don't think these are the kind of ministries that I need to be involved in. I don't think I'm burying my talent. I just don't think that this is my talent. There's always different ways to get involved. It doesn't take face-to-face interaction with children. It doesn't take teaching a Bible class to get involved. Again, we have children's contribution, and so that money goes towards buying food to give to our kids in our community. You can always donate snacks to go towards that. Now, you know, we try to give them some, we're very fairly particular with what food we give them. And so you can check with me, check with Ms. Tina, but you can always donate some food. You can always donate some goldfish or some snacks to Outdoor Bible or to the school. I'm sure the school would love diapers or wipes or different things like that. So you can get involved in that way. Maybe for children contribution, you don't have any children that come worship with you, and you're past that time in your life, or you just don't have any, you can find the nearest kid, and hey, will you put my money in that bowl too, and watch them just excitedly put that money in the bowl. And you know, we don't like talking about it, and it can be awkward sometimes, but look, if you don't know what to do, you don't know how to help, you're not sure if that is your talent, money can always be used in these ministries. I've had a lot of you come to me and say, hey, Is there a team that I can sponsor to help them get to Gulf Coast Bible Camp this year? Hey, is there a team that I can sponsor to help go on that trip? That goes such a long ways. And listen, all of these ministries, they're supported by the church. That our main contribution we do, it goes towards a lot of these ministries. And so we're able to cover a lot of that. But if you have it in your heart and you want to do just a little extra, you want to do a little bit more, you can sponsor a team to go on the trip. You can give some money to the school, right? We've talked about some fundraisers that we've done for the school, and the way Miss Tina always puts it is a cup of coffee a day would make a world of difference. And basically what she means by that is for those who might go to Starbucks or Yellowhammer every day or multiple times a week and you buy your $3 coffee or, you know, maybe $8 coffee, whatever it might be, if you just go without that coffee for one day and you're able to give it to a ministry like the school, you're able to give it to one of these ministries that I talked to, how big of an impact that would make. There's always different ways to get involved. We have all of these incredible ministries that our leaders have set up for us to invest in our children's spiritual lives. Let's get involved. This morning, maybe you've realized that you've had a childish faith. Maybe this morning you've realized that you've made church, you've made being a Christian about yourself. And maybe you've been... I had this selfish way of living. Maybe you've made it all about your needs instead of looking out for other people's needs. This morning, maybe you realize that you need less of a childish faith and more of a childlike faith. Maybe you long for that childlike faith. You long to be that excited about church. You long to have that kind of trust in our Heavenly Father. Maybe you're just excited to learn more about Jesus. And maybe your question this morning is, okay, what do I need to do to be saved? What do I need to do to become a follower of Jesus? Well, you can You can repent of your sins. You can turn away from your wrongdoings. You can be baptized and have your sins washed away and be saved by the blood of Jesus. When a child is in need, they don't hesitate, do they? When a child is in need, they don't wait, they don't hesitate. When they're in need, they start calling out to their mom and dad. They're going to seek them. They're going to run after their parents whenever they are in need. In the sight of God, all of us in here are His children. If you're in need this morning, don't hesitate. Don't wait. Call out to Him. Seek Him. Run after Him. You can do that right now this morning. All you have to do is come up right here as we stand and as we sing.